Good morning. Okay, this week's Parsha is Parshas Naso. And towards the end of the Parsha, we come to the gifts that the Nesi'im bring. And that's really what I'd like to focus on in this year. Parak Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Bayom Kalot Moshe Lakim Et HaMishkan, Vayimshach Oto, Vayikadesh Oto, Ve'et Kol Kelav, Ve'et HaMizbeach, Ve'et Kol Kelav, Vayimshachim, Vayikadesh Osam. It was on the day that Moshe finished erecting the Mishkan and anointing it to sanctify it, and all its utensils, and the altar, and all its utensils, and he anointed and sanctified them. Pasuk Beis, Vayikrivu Nisiei Yisrael, Rashei Beis Avosam, Heim Nisiei HaMatos, Heim HaOmdim HaPikudim. The leaders of Israel, the heads of their paternal household, brought offerings. They were the leaders of the tribes. They were those who stand at the counting. And Rashi tells us, who are these? The Nesi'im, Heim Nesi'ei Hamatos, this phrase that's used to describe them. He says, Shayu Shotrim Aleim B'Mitzrayim, Vayu Mokin Aleim Shenamar Vayku Shotrei B'nei Yisrael V'Gomer. Who were these people? These people were the Shotrim in Mitzrayim, the appointed officers, and they took the beatings for B'nei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. That's one description. And then the other description the Pasuk gives us, Heim ha'omdim al ha'pikudim, she'omdu im Moshe v'Aaron k'shemanu es Yisrael. These were the people, the head of the tribes, that stood with Moshe and Aaron when they counted B'nai Yisrael. And then, vayaviu et karbanam, lifnei Hashem, so they bring their, you know, their gifts, their karbanos, in the inauguration of the Mishkan. What is it? Sheish agalot tzav v'shnei asar bakar agala al shnei ha'nesiyim v'shor le'achad v'yikrivu osam lifnei ha'mishkan. What was their offering? As a group, they brought 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for each 2 leaders, and a bull for each, and they brought them before the Mishkan, right? So this is the first. The Nesi'im, we're going to see, are going to bring 2 sets of gifts to the Mishkan. This first gift, they presented it together on the day that the Mishkan was inaugurated. Each Shevet contributed 1 ox and joined with another to bring 1 of the 6 wagons for the purpose of transporting the Mishkan. So again, we have 12 Nesi'im. They each brought, quote-unquote, a half a wagon. So there were 6 wagons in total, and each one gave 1 ox. And obviously, the purpose of those oxes were every 2 ox would pull 1 wagon, and that was for the purpose of transporting the Mishkan. But in addition, each shaver brought a series of offerings, including gold, silver, vessels, incense, fine flour, livestock, etc. Each shevet's offering was identical, yet each was offered in the Mishkan on a different day. So day 1 was 1 shevet with a whole group of things. Day 2 was another shevet with the same group of things, etc. So we look in our pasuk, Vayikrivu ha'nesi'im es chanukas ha'mizbeach, vayom himashach otso, vayikrivu ha'nesi'im es karbanam lifnei ha'mizbeach. They brought forward these offerings for the dedication of the mizbeach on the day it was anointed, and the leaders brought their offerings before the Mizbeach. We have Pasuk Aleph. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Nasiach al Yom, Yakiru et Karbanam l'Chanukah ha'Mizbeach. Hashem says to Moshe, okay, very good. We have 12 tribes, 12 Nesi'im. They're not going to all bring in them the same time. Each Nasi will bring his Karban on a different day. Vayemakriv b'yom harishon es karbano Nachshon ben Aminadav l'matzeh Yehuda. So on the first day, we had Nachshon ben Aminadav representing Sheva Yehuda, and then it's going to go through his karban. The karbano kara kesef echat shoshimu mea mishkala. He brought a silver bowl that weighed 130 shekel. Mizrak echad, a silver basin. Kesef shivim shekel, that weighed gold that was 70 shekel. Hakadosh Shnei Mleim Solet Bulav Hashem and Lemincha Kaf Achat Asara Zahav Mleya Ketores. And again, we have another thing. We had they were filled with fine flour mixed with oil, which was like a meal offering. And then there was a gold ladle that was worth 10 shekels that was full of ketores. Parachad ben bakar, ayelachad, kevizachad ben shnato, la'ola, a bull, a sheep, a ram, si'iri zimachad lachatat, ulizevach hashlomen bakar shneim elim, chamisha atudim, chamisha kvasim, b'nei shana, chamisha zekarba nachshon b'nei meyadav. We have 5 goats, 5 rams, 2 cattle, 5 sheep, etc. A whole bunch of livestock. This was the carbon of nachshon b'nei meyadav. And then we have b'yom heshini kriv natanel ben tuar, nasi shevet Yisachar. The second day we have shevet Yisachar. B'yom hashishi nasi livnei zvulan eliyav ben chelav. B'yom harivi nasi livnei ruvin elitor ben Or. And each day after we say the Nasi, it goes through the same set of psukim of this whole group of things that were brought as offerings in the Mishkan by the Nasiim. So the Torah continues to list the karbanos brought by each of the 12 Shvatim. Though the contents were identical, it lists the content by each Nasi. And we know that the Torah always uses terse language, right? The Torah does not waste one extra word, one extra letter. Yet here in our parsha, we seem to have the exception to the rule. The Torah devotes 72 psukim to what would have been easily said in 6, right? These are the karbanos. On day 1, Nachshon brought it. On day 2, Shevet Yisachar. On day 3, da-da. But rather, by each Shevet, it goes through this whole long arichta of everything that was brought. Could have said it, you know, in 6 psukim. Instead, it devotes 6 psukim to each shevet. Also, it's interesting that the Torah reminds us of the Nasiim's job in Mitzrayim. We said Hey Nasiei Hamatos in connection with the inauguration of the Mishkan. Not at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar when they're first mentioned. It would seem that when you're first introducing the Nasiim in last week's Parsha, that's when it would have been the appropriate time to say, oh, by the way, they were the people who were in Mitzrayim, they took the beatings for Klal Yisrael. And then we're told that their job was Om Dibala Pikudim, a job that they would only fulfill after the Chanukah HaMishkan. That would be later on. So again, why are these descriptions, why do we find them here within the Mishkan? So I think in order to better understand this, we need to understand the Yesod of the Shvatim. What do the 12 tribes represent? What do the 12 Shvatim stand for? So in order to do this, we need to go back to the end of Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov blesses his 12 sons. Now Yaakov is about to die, and before he dies, he gathers together his 12 sons, and he blesses each one separately. Thus, even though he's giving everyone a bracha, he individualizes the bracha. We have Reuven Bechoriata, Shimon Velevi Achim, Yehuda Atayoducha Achacha, etc. He goes through each and every son, and he gives them their own individual blessing. And at the end of blessing each of his children, the Pasuk states, Mem Tes Pasuk Chafalef, Kol Eila Shifte Yisrael, Shnei Masar, Vezosha Sher Diber Lahem Avihem, Vayivarech Osam, Ish Asher Kiber Chato Beirach Osam. All these are the tribes of Israel, 12, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each according to his appropriate blessing. Now, Rav Monk in his Sefer, the Call of the Torah, he explains, Ish asher kibir chato, each according to his appropriate blessing. The blessing is not uniform. It varies according to the character of each child. For the Jewish nation is founded on the principle of unity in plurality. Each of the 12 tribes is called upon to perform its particular function, resulting from its special character and its regional location in the land. Thus, there is set up a veritable division of labor, which determines the economic and cultural life of the nation. We have Reuven, Gad, and Menashe occupying Transjordan, specialized in raising cattle and grazing them. From Shimon came the nation's scribes and teachers. From Yisachar, its sages. Levi provided clergy, and Yehuda, the royal dynasty. Ephraim and Binyamin provided the best soldiers, while Zebulun devoted himself to foreign trade and maritime commerce. Asher excelled in agriculture, as did Naphtali, who in addition produced orators. Lastly, the tribe of Dan distinguished itself by its great competence in judicial matters. The characteristics noted by the patriarch marked the Jewish tribes for all time, while remaining loyal to their common faith. The Jews developed characteristics for each tribe, recognized as completely legitimate. It was this very concept. So basically, what did Yaakov do? He goes through each of the 12 Shvatim, and he focuses on their strengths, on their talents, each as legitimate ways and conduits to unite and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have 12 different paths, 12 areas of strength, of talent, but again, they are all the Shiftei Ka, they are all the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, and they all create one united nation. And it's this very concept that Hashem introduced to Yaakov when he changed his name to Yisrael. Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph. Vayomer lo Elokim, Shemcha Yaakov, lo yikare Shemcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yeshemecha. Hashem says, Yaakov, your name will no longer be Yaakov, rather your name will be Yisrael. Vayikare Shemo Yisrael, Vayomer lo Elokim, ani kel shakai, pirei urve, goyu kahal goyim yim mcha, umalachim echal tzecha yeteo. He says to him, I am Kel Shakai, you should be fruitful and multiply. There will be a goy, a nation, v'kahal goyim, and a congregation of nations will be from you, and kings will come from you. Right? Hashem is telling Yaakov that you will be a goy, you will be a nation, you will be one single unit, and yet internally there will be a kahal goyim, there will be a congregation of nations, a united group with different types of people and professions. Each shevet will constitute a unit by itself, though they will all transmit monotheism. They do not have to be this, all of the same character, but on the contrary, they should have a whole multiplicity of national characteristics. The tribes should have possess a range of different aspects: military, mercantile, agricultural, scientific, etc. And the aim is to clearly show the world that the sanctification of human life by divine law, by Torah and by mitzvot, does not depend at all on a specific profession or any specific national characteristic. That we are a goy, we are one united nation, but within this goy, we are a kahal goyim. We are a number of units. We are a congregation of nations. And each group, each shevet, each aguda has its own talents, its own characteristics, its own profession, but yet that doesn't determine a change in the overarching goy, in the overarching united nation. We all can follow Torah and mitzvot. We all can teach God and monotheism to the world, all within our own unique framework and our own unique kohos and talents. There is a common goal and a shared vision, and each shevet and person in Klal Yisrael have their own strengths and their own paths to get there. We unite together in that we reveal Hashem's kingship and Hashem's glory into the world, yet we all have our own way of doing it and our own way of bringing it about that goal and being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revealing Hashem's kingship, keeping Torah and mitzvot, showing the world monotheism and Judaism and this light. Yeah, we all have our own paths to get there. We all have our own ways of expressing it. We share this common goy, this common nation, this common goal. Rav Chaim Freelander in his Sefer Siftei Chaim explains the phrase in Tehillim which we say in Rosh Hashanah. We say, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Together are the Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael. And he writes, I'll read it inside. V'lo katuv Yachad Yisrael, o Yachad Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk doesn't say Yachad Yisrael or Yachad Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. Ela Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. Rather, Yachad together are the tribes of Israel. Landenu to teach us Shebeemes Lekol Shevet Yesh Tafkid Miyuchad Begiloi Kavod Shemayim. To teach us that what? That each and every tribe has its own unique tafkid, its own unique job in what? In revealing glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubat'am l'kach kibel ma'ashem yiparach tchunot u'malot miyuchadot she'ein l'shevet acher. And therefore, each and every tribe, each and every shevet has its own inclinations, its own milas, its own special strengths and its special inclinations that other shvatim don't have. V'kach tzarech l'yot ki al yidei zeh mitrabek kavod shemayim. And this is how it has to be. Because it's precisely through this diversity that we're able to bring about Kavod Shemayim, that we're able to bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'pnei kashal kol shevet marbe kavod shemayim b'shechtech hamiyuchad lo, kigon shevet yisachar b'torah so, v'shevet zvulon b'hachzakas ha-torah. It's precisely by this that we're able to bring about the Kavod Shemayim, and we're able to bring it about even more. Because every person is able to do it in their own shetach, in their own area, in their own arena. Just like Yisachar is able to bring Kavod Shemayim through his learning of the Torah. And Zvulun is able to bring it in his achzakas, in his supporting of the Torah. We learn this yisod. We learn this this concept from the bracha that Yaakov gave to his children. Yaakov gave each and every child a different bracha. Kol achad l'tzvi atzorah hamiyuchad lo. He gave each and every child a bracha that was what he needed, that was tapping in on his strengths and his kochos and his abilities. Yaakov Avinu bevaday lo chilek levanav brachos ba'ofen mikri. Of course he didn't randomly assign brachos. Oh, you should be good at this, and you should do this, and you should do that. Ela ha-brachos hayu tzfila u'bakasha me'ashem v'barach l'netinas keilu ma'avodas Hashem l'kol echad me'ashvatim ba'atam la'tafkido u'malato. He said, what was the bracha Yaakov gave each and every child? It was a tefillah. It was a bakasha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give this child the kelim to be able to sanctify Hashem's name and to be able to do his own avoda, his own service of God in his own unique way that was mat'im, that was befitting to his job and to his milas and to the strengths that each and every one of his children had. This is how the Sforno translates our pasuk in Berkas Yaakov. Each according to his appropriate blessing. Each person got their appropriate blessing. This is what the Sforno explains. And what they needed, like Yisachar, like Yehuda needed in terms of royalty and malchus, and Yisachar needed it in terms of Torah. Af ki kol shevet miyuchad v'shonev tchunato v'tafkido mishar shvatim. Each and every shevet is unique in his own tchunos hanefesh, in his own strengths and his own abilities and his own job from the other shvatim. Aval hashoni ein asiba lepirod ulamachlokas beinehem ki amatarav v'ashifa mushutefes l'kulam b'pnei hamalchus Hashem yiparach aleihem v'achedes otam. He says, but this division, these differences do not create division. Because why? Because they have the same goal. And they have the united goal of what? Of Malchus Hashem Yiparach, of the kingship of God. Sha'atafkid amyuchad l'kol shevet eno benifrad mei tafkid sha'ar ha-shvatim, elo hu chilek ha-matarah shel kaklal, ubit katzvutz kol ha-chalakim shel kla Yisrael yachad nivnes Malchus Shamayim. Because the jobs are not against each other. They're not separate, but they're all a piece of this ultimate goal, of this ultimate unification of all the parts. And that is how together we build this kingship of Hashem. We build this united nation. Ach im chas v'shalom b'glal ha'shoni shebetafkid shel kol echad hu choshev sherak hu mamlechet Hashem yiparach u'posel el avodas shar shvatim. But if chas v'shalom, a person looks at his job and his strengths, and he thinks only he is mamlech Hashem, and he's posel, he negates the other strengths and contributions of the other shvatim. Oshem enatzel atchunato v'miyuchadet lamatarot nosefot, acherot zulat asiyat ritzon Hashem yiparach, or he uses his strengths and his talents for something else, some outside thing, not connected to revealing the glory of God, or of his avodas Hashem, ninsa sheYisrael eina miyuchadim. We find that Bnei Israel are not united. Ve'eina mivatlim et ritono ha'anochi la'avodas Hashem yibarach. They're not nullifying their own will for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's will. Az chasar zevar ba'hamachat Hashem yibarach. V'zehu yachad shifte Yisrael. Him achen shvatim hashonim zemiza, aval him tzrichim liyot yachad b'matara hamashutefet shel giloi machos shamayim. He said, if not, we're missing something in the machos of Hashem, and this is what the pasuk is driving at when we say yachad shifte Yisrael. Yes, they are shvatim. They are different. They have different strengths. They have different talents. They have different tzchunos and nefesh, but they have to unite in a common goal. And that is the Giloy of Malchus Shamayim. And that is how the diversity brings about the unification. Because even though we're different, we're united in the same goal. In Judaism, we celebrate diversity as long as it is used towards a common goal. And that is the concept of Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Each Shevet brings its own talent to the united goal, to the united nation, to a united Klal Yisrael. And it's for that reason, it's based on this idea that the Emesli, I think, very much connected to the Emesli Yaakov that we had on last week's Parsha. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, why when we come to the Degolim, the flags of the Shvatim in the Midbar, why were they established in Bamidbar? Wouldn't it make more sense to do it right after Yetzias Mitzrayim? We go out, we're powerful, we're chamushim, you know, we were victorious over the Mitzrayim. Wouldn't it be now the time that we should be able to put out our flags and wave them? Why did he wait a whole nother year in order to bring about the Tzigolim? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky answers, Ella, Shebe'emes inyan hadzgolim, lichora hi hu pirud halavavos. He says, really, when you think about each tribe having their own flag, there brings about this concept of pirud, of separateness, right? Of a separateness of heart, of approach, of feeling. Ki zeva daisha kol tseva yeshbo eza semel miyuchad. V'keina tzirim shayu al kol zegel v'zegel halo miyuchades. Because each flag had its own colors. Each flag had its own pictures. Obviously, they were driving at differences and unique things in each and every nation. Ki kol shevet v'shevet yesh lo tzchuna o she'ifa miyuchades. Because every shevet has their own different inclinations and their own unique things that make them tick and their own desires. Umatarat ha'achad shonemi matarat ha'shini. And they have their own different, you know, goals or ways of doing things. V'nimsa kilich ora hadzgalim germu lepirud halavavos. So it would seem that having flags would create disunity, pirud, separation. Ela mekevan she'yalakula merkaz echad. But since all these tribes had one center, had a merkaz echad, the Hainu HaMishkan, which was the Mishkan, the Kulam Chonim Misaviv LaMishkan, and all the tribes encamp around the Mishkan, Ein Ze Goreim LaPirud, Ela Kol Echad Omeid Mishmarto HaMiyuchadet Lo Ve'Ein Kan Shum Pirud. He says, but rather, because we have this, because we have a central point that we're all camping around, that we're all directing towards, it doesn't create pirut, it doesn't create separation. Kimo ba'adam v'ki mipnei sha'aznayim nivru l'shmo v'ayinayim l'rod. V'ki hitala'a v'altcha sh'tiyah b'neim pirut u'machlokas. He said, just like with a person has eyes which are created to see. They have ears which are created to hear. Would it make sense? Would you ever think in your mind that there should be pirud, separation, and machlokas between the eyes and the ears of a person? Ukemo kein beuma. Similarly with the nation. Mikivan shekula mirkozim l'nekuda achat. Im kein in chashash l'pirud u'machlokas. He said, because we're all joined with this one point, we're all directed towards the Mishkan, there's no concept that our differences, I might see and you might hear, are going to create separation of machlokas. V'lefikach, kol zman shelohu kama mishkan, lo haya adayin merkaz ruchani. He says, because of this, as long as there was no mishkan, there was no central point. There was nothing that they were all directed towards. Merkaz ruchani, az hayita kol uma chativa achad, v'digal achat l'kulan. So at that point, it was necessary to have what? One flag for the whole nation. But masha'ein kein achar she'ukama mishkan ki az ein shum chashash l'zgalim l'fikach achar shebechodesh harishon b'shana hashenid hukama mishkan etzchilu la'tasek b'zgalim be'achad l'chodesh hashenid b'shana hashenid. And it was exactly this. After the mishkan was built, after they have this central point that they all encamp around, there's no chashash, there's no thought that the flags, that the differences are going to create diversity or disunity. It's exactly the opposite. And so therefore, once they have the central point, once they have this united goal, and they're all, though they might be coming from different points, east, west, north, south, they're all going towards the same direction, we can be involved in flags. We can highlight and focus on differences. We can celebrate the differences because we know that though we're different, we're all going towards the same point. And so it is the recognition that we surround the Mishkan and that we are all going in the same direction and aiming at the same goal which unites us despite our differences and our different talents. And we can use our different talents all towards the goal of this Mishkan. In fact, if you read the Pasuk, which concludes Birkas Yaakov, you can see the concept in the Pasuk. Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Kol Eila, Shifte Yisrael, Shnei Masar, V'zos Asher Diber Lahem Avihem, we have 12 tribes, this is what their father spoke to them, Vayivarech Osam, he blessed them, Ish Kiber Chato, Beirach Osam, each one according to his blessing, he blessed them. Now, if we read the Pasuk with a critical eye, it's actually what Rashi highlights. The Pasuk isn't in uniform, right? It says, Ish kibirchato, which is yachid, which is in the singular, beirach osam, which is in the plural, which is in the rabbim. And Rashi points out that what should the pasuk have read? Ish kiberchato beirach oso. Right? The first part is yachid. The second part has to be singular as well. It has to follow. Has to follow. It has to be in agreement. Rav Goldwich in his Asufas Marachos, he explains that when Yaakov started the bracha, he started with the individual. Ish kiberchato. Right? Yaakov spoke about the unique strengths and qualities that each shevet has, their unique personality. He blessed them as unique individuals. The pasuk starts with yachid. But the purpose of these unique qualities is not for each shevet to use his own house, in his own house, but rather it's for the greater good, the united whole. So therefore, Yaakov ends the bracha in the plural form, as each individual is to channel their strengths to the klal. Each person uses their abilities, their strengths and their talents to bring about the goal of klal Yisrael. We use our diversity in a united way. Hillel in Pirkei Avos says the famous Mishnah, "Im ein ani li mili, if I am not for myself, then who will be? Ukashani li, kshani la'atmi, but when I am for myself, ma'ani, what am I?" And the Sfas Emes explains this Mishnah in the following way. It says, if I am not for myself, then who will be for me, right? Each and every one of us is created with a special and a specific purpose that no one else can fulfill. So if I am not for myself, if I don't take upon my jobs and my responsibility, there's no one else in the world who's going to be able to do that because I am unique. I have my own talents, my own strengths, and my own job to fulfill. But, kshani la'atmi, but when I am for myself and I'm not involved in the tibor and I'm only thinking about the atmi, myself, ma'ani, what value do I have? Because each and every person must channel their strength to the klal. We have to use our diversity, our different talents and strengths, and use them to make a united whole, a nation that has one goal. And I think it's based on this that we can understand the repetition in the karbanos of the Nisim. Although their offerings were identical in content and in sequence, each leader's offerings were an expression of a unique way of serving Hashem. Underlying the offerings of the tribe of Yehuda was the theme of kingship. In contrast to the kingship of Yehuda, the Shevet of Yisachar represented a special quality of spiritual leadership for the nation that focused on the destiny of Torah. And this was in the mind of its leader. The special concern of Zevulun was commerce. Thus, the leader had in mind the dedication of commercial activities in support of the Torah that Yisachar studied. Such distinctive themes were underlying in the successive offerings of each tribe. Meaning, yes, they were bringing the exact same carbon down to the weight of each and every bowl and each and every item, the age of the animals, etc. But they looked the same. They were bringing with it their own unique approaches, their own unique outlooks, their own unique talents and thought processes. The Ramban suggests that even though the contents of the gifts were the same, the essence of the gifts were very different, as each prince brought his unique offering with special meaning and special intent that was unique to him and to his tribe. He explains that each Nasi brought the gifts in a way that represented the individualized mission of the particular tribe. For example, when Nachshon Ben Aminadab brought the Ka'aras Kesef, the silver bowl on behalf of Shevet Yehuda, it symbolized the seas which surround the world like a bowl, as Shlomo HaMelech, a member of the Shevet, would eventually rule over land and sea. But when Netzano Ben Sur brought an identical silver bowl on behalf of Shevet Yisachar, it represented the Torah, which was symbolized by the bed placed in the bowl, whose studies is exemplified by the Shevet of Yisachar. So again, they were bringing the same thing, but it was a totally different approach. They were bringing to the table, they were bringing to the Mishkan, they were bringing to the Klal their unique talents, their unique intent, their unique mission, and their unique talents and strengths. And the Rabban concludes, "Ulekach hishva'u tama katav lefarei kol echad ba'atmo ki'ilu lo hizkar acher." That is why the Torah records the offering of each and every Nasi separately, as if the previous ones were not mentioned at all. Because despite their overarching commonality, because each gift was defined by the unique intent of the particular prince who offered it, in reality, no two offerings were alike. This, then, is why the Torah goes to great lengths to elucidate each and every offering. Yes, on the surface, they were exactly the same, right down to the measurement. But what they brought to the table, their unique intent, their kavana, their talents, their strength, was vastly different. And therefore, the Torah uses 72 psukim to go over and over the gifts of the Nesiim. The Jewish people are a united whole. On the one hand, we each have something to add, something to complete the picture to our nation. And on the other, we live with a common goal and a purpose. We just use different talents and strengths to get to that goal. According to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, these two aspects of unity with diversity are evident in the two groups of gifts that the Nesiim brought. Again, we have two pictures of unity. We are all each a piece of a puzzle, and we all make a whole puzzle by each bringing our own strengths and our talents, and we complement each other. But there's another picture of unity, that we all have the same goal, and we all just use our own unique ways to get to that goal, our own unique approaches and our own unique strengths and talents. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that these two aspects of unity are evident in the karbanos, in the presence that the Nesiim brought. We have, on the one hand, we have the six wagons, each with a pair of oxen, which is a collective gift. Each Nasi gave half a wagon, which would be useless without the other half, and the oxen that were needed to pull it. True, we are comprised of different shvatim, each distinguished by its particular character, but we bring our own unique contribution to the fulfillment of Bnei Yisrael's mission. We complement and we fulfill one another to create a single entity. Our differences create a united entity. And then we have the second gift, the second thing that the Nesiim brought. Each Sheva brought a series of identical offerings, including gold, silver vessels, livestock, etc. Though they were identical, each Sheva brought its own experience and perspective to the offering. Each expressed the same eternal truth through its own personality and lifestyle. Though we may be doing the act in our own way, we are united through a common goal and a common quest. And so we see the two aspects of unity. On the one hand, we all complement each other, we're pieces of a puzzle. And on the other hand, we're all going towards the same thing. We just have our own paths to get there. But we're all aiming towards the same thing. So Bnei Yisrael are this united nation. We have our own strengths, which we use to complement the klal. We have our own unique strengths, which are part of our own shevet. And at the same time, we're still part of the klal Yisrael. And additionally, as part of this klal, we share a vision, we share common goals, and though we may travel different paths to get there, we end up accomplishing the same thing. The Nesiva Shalom at the end of Parshas Naso writes, "V'nimsa shehaparsha kula kodesh kedashim." This parsha is extremely holy. It's the holy of the holies. "V'hi me'aparshiot haktoshot biyoter batorah." "V'ein batorah shum os miyuteres va'afilu yoter vav." Says there's not even an extra letter extra in the Torah, not even a vav. The Gulimba Parsha Zu Inyan Yud Bet Hashvatim Shehem Yud Bet Drachim Ba'avodas Hashem. He says in this parsha we see the 12 tribes, which are 12 different pathways and unique ways to serve God. Kol Shevet V'Derech Avoda Shelo Kefishin and Sarelo Miyakov Avihem. Each tribe has their own way, their own special path, which was given over to them from their father Yaakov. Drashan sheyesh yud bet trufei shem havaya, kach yesh yud bet racham lavod es Hashem yiparach haromzim beparsha akdosha hazos. Ki im bakorban hashevet hashayachlo. It says, just like there are 12 ways that we can write God's name, 12 names to reconfigure the shem havaya, there are 12 unique ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is hinted at in this holy parsha by what? By the korban of the Nesiim, the korbanos that each and every one of them brought. This parsha shows us the great holiness, the kedusha of Bnei Yisrael. Shemilvad kol sodos haTorah sheiv shalai sigam meira lanu haParsha kama gedola kishrato shel Am Yisrael sheino am kishar umos ela hu am Hashem anosei es shlichoto haKadosh Baruch Hu baOlam. He says we see, even though we can't really understand the depths of all the secrets that are in the Torah, this parsha shows us the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that we're not a nation like any other nation, but rather we are unique. That what? That we have this shared mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are on the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'lekol shevet mimenu yesh avudah miyuchedet v'inyanam miyuchadim she'alav l'tachyein. But within this mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, within this common goal, we each have our own unique paths and things that we are supposed to bring about and we are supposed to fix. So it's important to find our individuality and our strengths, respecting different approaches and inclinations, while remembering that though we are different, we are united in a common goal, and we need to use our talents and our kochos towards that united whole. This is not only represented in the karbanos of the Nesiim, but I think it's actually who the Nesiim were. We'll go back to the beginning. The Torah describes the Nesiim as Nesiei Hamatos and Heim Haomdim Al Hapikudim. They were individuals, each one responsible for his own shevet, represented by Omdim Al Hapikudim, each with his own talents and inclinations, but they did not let the differences come in between them. They knew that they were part of a bigger picture, a klal with a common goal. And thus, they were also the Nesiei Hamatos, the ones who took the beatings in Mitzrayim on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Despite the fact that many of their fellow Jews were different than themselves, they were part of a united whole. They were part of a bigger picture, of a common goal. And so therefore, they stepped forward on behalf of the nation. They were willing to take the beatings on behalf of the whole united nation, despite the fact that they were different and that they were individualized shvatim. And that is the lesson that we must take from the presence of the Nesiim. We have to identify our unique strengths and our talents and our approaches in Avodas Hashem and use them to unify us as a nation by sharing them with Klal Yisrael and remembering that though we have different ways to get there, we are all aiming at the same goal, and we are all part of a united Klal Yisrael. We're part of a united nation. We are a goy, but we're also a kahal goyim. And it's precisely the kahal goyim that enhances the goy, and the goy that enhances the kahal goyim. It's our individuality that enhances our unity. It's our diversity, again, that enhances our unity, but it's our unity that also allows for our diversity. It's our common goal that allows us to all find our own unique paths to get there. And I hope that when we recognize our own unique talents and we can unite in those and we can unite as a nation, then we can bring about the ultimate geula through our achdus.